2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I.
Oh boy, the snow is coming down in downtown Salt Lake City. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaios, Tom Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. And you can also send us a direct message on our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page as well. Blackberries, very popular since you talked about them at the top of the hour, Ton. Lisa is asking if which summer month would you tip a prune? Let's see. Which summer month would you prune a triple crown blackberry in Davis County?
Usually sometime in late June or early July is the first tip pruning. And then about a month later, you may need to do another one just to kind of keep that growth in check. So the fact sheet will kind of explain, but it's usually early summer and then again about a month or maybe 6 weeks later.
All right. Sally in Pleasant Grove would like to know how to store tulip bulbs that grew and bloomed in water until that she can plant them outside.
Well, it's hard because if they're still in water, she's going to need to let them run their course. And if she can keep them alive until they start to go dormant, which could be sometime into April or May, then once they are dormant, then
once
can,
the leaves turn yellow and they're falling off.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. And so once they're yellow and falling off, then she could maybe plant those out in her yard. But a lot of times those, you know, when you're growing bulbs in water and things like that are considered to be almost like a flower display. So she can try. But if it doesn't succeed, then it's nothing she's done wrong.
This next person has a large, beautiful ash tree in their front yard. They're wondering what the latest is on the westward advance of the emerald ash borer.
We're still holding it off. It's on the Colorado Front Range, and Utah's looking at enacting its own quarantine because they're considering, because they just consider it established in too many places, the federal government will may remove the quarantine that's on transporting wood and ash trees. Mm-hmm. But Utah can implement its own. And so far, it's not here that we know of, but we're still discouraging people to planting new ash trees.
Right. Is there anything they can do to strengthen the ash trees that they do have?
Keep them healthy, you know, just deep watering them. And, you know, that's going to be the major thing. You know, the ash trees already have a lot of ash lilac borer, which in older trees usually isn't fatal, but it can cause a lot of dead branches. And so there's some things you can do for that. But for emerald ash borer, a systemic will keep it out of the tree, but it has to be applied, I think, every 2 years.
All right, let's take a call from Mel. He's calling from Idaho. Good morning, Mel. Mel's not there. Okay, let's take a call then from Lisa, who's in South Jordan. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Good, thanks. I have a question about a pixie peach. It's a patio peach tree. My question is, there's not a lot of information on how to trim a patio peach. Do I take out the middle like you would on a regular peach to create that open vase shape?
Yes, you would.
Okay.
It's just going to be smaller.
Okay. And then also, as I'm not sure when to take the peach tree out of the garage into the sun. They all talk about bringing it in the winter because it's not in the ground, but nobody talks about when to take it back out.
Okay, have you kept it watered occasionally through the winter?
I have.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so about once a month.
Yeah, the pixie peach is what's called a low chill peach. And keeping it in the garage is actually to your advantage because it requires so few hours at 40 degrees, it may actually bloom a little early and you'd lose the fruit. So when I would bring it outside is sometime in late March would be fine. Or if you see that it has bud swell and it's going to try to flower, then you'll want to put it out sooner.
Great. Thank you for your help.
All right. Yeah. Thank you
now,
so much.
If she, if we get really cold temperatures in and that's actively growing before other peaches in the neighborhood, she will need to bring it back in until that danger of hard frost is gone.
All right. And Mel, Anthony is apologizing that he lost your call. So call back and we'll get you right back on. Next person is asking, what is the best pre-emergent for puncture vine?
Well, they can try preen. There's also, if it's in a lawn area, the Bayer's version of their pre-emergent, which is the season-long broadleaf weed control. So one of those two. What I like to do if the pre-emergents aren't working, because those seeds can be pretty deep, and sometimes the pre-emergents will start to weaken as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're not working, then I'll just go in with a gardening hoe when those puncture vines are small and hoe them out. It's an unfortunate theme because they're so just tough and the seeds will last up to 50 years. They're really hard to get rid of, but those are some they could try.
All right. The next person would like to know what the best resource to identify a specific tree. What do you think is the best resource for them to identify a tree?
Let it leaf out. And then take a small branch into a garden center and let them take a look. If they're in a city that has an extension office, the extension offices generally have not been open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I bring it into a garden center. But the garden centers usually have employees that can very readily identify it. Now, they don't want to just bring in one little leaf because a lot of times, if it's like an ash tree or honey locust, they get a leaflet and you need a small branch to really identify it, or a picture of a branch that's in focus.
All right. What plant recommendations do you have for shady areas under and around an established 20-plus-year-old pine tree? The pine needles have remained on the ground for many years.
There's probably not much that's going to grow under there. They're going to need to get the pine needles taken care of and maybe limb the tree up some to get more sunlight in there, because if there's nothing growing under there now, any perennials or annuals they put in there will also not make it long term.
Ivy is the only thing I have found, and then you have other issues.
You do. And so you've got to make a decision on whether to keep the tree, and it's healthier for the tree to have those branches down low if you can leave them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to plant things under there, they're probably going to need to limb it up 6 or 8 feet and then get those pine needles out. And then even where it's super shady, they may not get much to grow, but then any shade plants should be fine.
All right. Let's take a call from Ed in South Jordan. Good morning, Ed.
Yes. I have a question about rescuing my cherries this year.
About what to your cherries?
Rescuing them.
Oh, rescuing. Okay.
Yes. We have for a number of years had the gut worms in our cherries. And I've talked to a local garden center and used the sprays they've recommended on the schedule they've recommended. But we are still not being able to get a lot of usable cherries off the tree.
So how, what often, and I'm just going to speak honestly here, if you get a recommended spray that's registered and you get the timing correct, it's usually user error that causes it not to work. And so, and I'm not accusing you of that necessarily, but let's see if we can figure out what's going on. And so when you, and I don't know the rates and everything, but what particular spray did they recommend?
Oh, I don't right now have the name.
Okay.
I'll walk out.
It's okay for now. It's actually, it's less important. And then when do they tell you to start spraying?
Well, they tell me to start spraying as soon as their color starts to show on a cherry.
Yeah, and that's correct. So when they're yellow with a blush of pink is when
right,
you start spraying.
Yes.
And so when you sprayed, did you spray the entire tree?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, let, and then the other thing that can go wrong is if you don't spray often enough, and it's kind of a fine line with trying to spray so that you're not eating the actual spray and it has time to degrade, but also keep the insects out. And so there's a couple of different sprays that you could try. But if you're wanting to stay a little more organic, there's one called Spinosad, like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. But that has to spray it, I believe, every 3 or 4 days. If you went towards something like Permethrin, that would probably last up to around 7 days. But that timing there is critical, and because if they are turning pink, then it may be too late.
Okay. So actually, almost as soon as I start to see the yellow go, start to turn yellow, not to turn red, but to turn yellow, probably start spraying them.
Well, if when they're yellow and you just see a blush of pink, but you need to start watching because those cherries will ripen right when we're going from the 70s into the 80s and 90s. And if we get a day where it goes from like 75 to 90 the next day, they change fast. And so you really need to keep an eye out.
All right. Okay. So there's no way to help control them by where to the flies over winter, you know, spraying the ground or anything like
that? Any cherries that the birds don't get or you don't use, you need to pull off the tree. A lot of times people will try to put tarps under the trees and things, but because that cherry fruit fly is mobile and it flies, if there's other cherries in the neighborhood, they're still going to be back. So if your neighbors aren't trying to treat, that can make your problem a little worse and harder to control. But I think that timing is going to be critical.
Okay.
And just make sure that you're mixing correctly and do not save the spray. You need to use all that you mix and then mix a new batch the next time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help. We'll try it again this year.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate your call this morning. We're going to take a final break here in the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 801-575-8255. We'll be back with our last few minutes on the show.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the final minutes of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. Sherry is asking, Ton, they received rosebush start from a seed catalog, and she wants to know when she should plant it and how she's supposed to keep it alive until then.
Well, if it's actively growing, she needs to keep it indoors until probably late April at least. And if they put it out, they may need to cover it if we get danger of frost in.
Okay.
So if it's dormant, and it just depends because they can come bare root and dormant and they're wrapped in a plastic sack with wet or, you know, moist newspaper, shredded up newspapers and things, then you know, and that you can store in the refrigerator. But if we get these questions, and the detail we need is if the rose is actively growing or if it's dormant,
right, because they're going to be treated differently. Or anything on there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they are seeing greenery, they're going to need to protect it.
Keep it indoors. But if it's dormant and small, then they can just leave it wrapped up and put it in the refrigerator. Maybe take it out once a week just to make sure it's not molding or anything. And then just plant it outside sometime in mid to late April.
Okay. Let's take our next caller. That is Jim in South Jordan. Good morning, Jim. Jim?
Good morning. You probably already answered this question today. Is there a hard and fast time by which I'm supposed to have my pruning done for fruit trees?
The apples and pears you need to do now, and then peaches and other stone fruits you would start in mid-March.
Okay. So get on the apples and pears right now.
Yeah, and the reason you're pruning those now is they're a little more durable, and they can tolerate pruning during colder weather better than what the stone fruits will. The other reason is that fire blight, as we start to warm up and through mid to late March, starts to become active, and that's a bacterial disease, and it can be spread a little bit more easily through pruning wounds, and so it's dormant right now, and that's the other reason that we do the apples and pears.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. And you know it's snowing outside, right, Tom?
Well, it is in Salt Lake, but here in Orem, it's just kind of cloudy. And so I'm sure it's coming our way, though.
Right. So get on it if you live in Orem. But he lives in South Jordan, so I'm
yeah.
not sure. All right.
If it's snowing, take the day off and get after it another day.
All right. Let's take a call from Doug in Ogden. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. What I have is I have several pine trees in my front yard that I've removed the lower limbs up to about 7 to 8 feet. I just wondered, what can I do to encourage the grass to grow underneath that?
Well, if you've limbed it up and gotten some more sunlight in there, then that is going to be a big step. And,
okay.
you know, maybe just a bit of fertilizer to see if you can stimulate some growth. And I would do the fertilizer sometime in late April and then just see how it goes. And if it looks like it's recovering and thickening up, then you know that you have done enough. But if it's still struggling and there's still a lot of shade under there, you may need to have another go to open it up some more so that you can, if you're wanting the grass.
Do I reseed that area?
Yes, I would. And just for out of safety, I would probably see if you could find some bulk red fescue seed. I think Valley and J&J in your area both carry that seed that you can just buy a pound or two or five or whatever.
Okay. The seed for tray shaved grass, that does not work in that area.
Well, it would, but they have some other things in there. And what the pre-blended shade mixes that you just buy like in a 2 or a 5 pound bag are blended to more match your lawn. But the grasses in them are not quite as shade tolerant as straight red fescue. And so if you wanted to start with one of the shade mixes, you definitely could. And if it didn't work out, then you could go over to just straight red fescue and see if it would work.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Doug, thank you for your call this morning. And it's been a great show. And Ton, as always, the show goes by so very quickly. I do want to remind our listeners, we've talked about a lot of great things this morning. We talked about snowdrops and planting those early bulbs. Well, you have to plant them in the fall, but which ones you want to plan to plant for in the fall. Also, succulents in the 9 o'clock hour. And then you did a lot of research on blackberries for our 10 o'clock hour. And all that information is available on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can also go to kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse. Ton, you have a great weekend.
You have a great week also.
And we'll see you all back here next weekend for the KSL Greenhouse Show, Saturday mornings, 8 to 11. Have a nice day.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.